The Supreme Court struck down a Louisiana pro-life law recently that saves babies from abortion and protects women's health, thanks to Chief Justice John Roberts joining the four abortion advocates on the nation's highest court. So writes LifeNews.com. They continue to say the 2014 Louisiana law at the center of the case requires abortion providers to have hospital admitting privileges to treat patients with emergency complications. If allowed to take effect, it could close shoddy abortion facilities that are not prepared to help patients suffering from emergency complications. Again, quoting here from LifeNews.com. One of the major writers for LifeNews.com is Micaiah Bilger, and she joins us right now to discuss this law. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. And Micaiah, welcome back to the program. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks. It's always a pleasure.
Sure. Okay, you and I have actually discussed this law before, and the interesting thing about this is that a few years ago, the Supreme Court also struck down a Texas law, which is kind of similar, but you had pointed out in a previous discussion that there were nuances. The crazy thing is that a few years ago when the court struck down the Texas law, John Roberts was voting pro-life, and now he's voting pro-abortion. So comment on that and your overall take on this new ruling.
Yeah, it really was a very disappointing day for the pro-life movement and for life, for women and for unborn babies. And Chief Justice John Roberts, who was appointed by President George W. Bush, and pro-lifers were very hopeful when he was appointed that he would be a good, strong, conservative pro-life justice. He's really letting everyone down. As you said, Roberts disagreed with the ruling on that Texas law just 3 years ago, 4 years ago. And yet this time around, he sided with the pro-abortion majority. Roberts wrote his own opinions in this case, and it was really a very bizarre opinion, saying that while he still sort of agreed with what he wrote about the Texas law 4 years ago, he thinks that the court should uphold precedent. And so, therefore, he decided to go along with the majority because 4 years ago they struck down the Texas law, and that's precedent. It was very, really very bizarre, very sad, and he was very severely criticized by the four other conservative justices for that opinion. And I'm not a lawyer, so I don't know a lot of all the technical legal maybe details of that opinion. But from what I've heard, even from conservative pro-life lawyers, this was a bizarre, very weird opinion for him to write. So it was a big disappointment, especially with the Chief Justice.
Yeah, and the thing about precedent, here we are right now in America at a very ugly time because of the rioting in the streets and so forth, and ultimately it gets back to the racism and the slavery and all these different kind of things. Well, slavery was a precedent. In fact, when President Lincoln was sworn in and he gave his first inaugural address, he talked about this idea of judicial supremacy, and he said it's not correct. It's a great little line in there. Everybody should repeat it. And he was clearly talking about Dred Scott and the Dred Scott decision, which basically said, well, we're going to stick with the precedent of slavery over freedom for, in this case, it was a freed slave or a free black man that was being denied his rights.
Yeah, it is. I mean, that's what the Supreme Court is there to do, to decide whether something is constitutional or not, and not to follow precedent. Because, I mean, there's so many times, not just with Dred Scott, but many, many times the Supreme Court through the years has overturned horrible decisions. I'm thinking of something in, I believe, the 1930s or 20s, where there were people with disabilities who were forcibly sterilized. And that was initially a Supreme Court decision, based on a Supreme Court decision, and then later was struck down because that's, you know, that was abhorrent too.
Yeah, so, you know, by the way, there was a famous line from that, from Oliver Wendell Holmes Jr. It was something like, five generations of imbeciles is enough.
Yeah, it's disgusting that, you know, that this, you know, these things that happened, and they're, so it's really hard to even think about what might be going on in the Chief Justice's mind to have written that and just ignore, you know, what, you know, that this law was a good law. It was meant to protect women's lives. It was meant to protect babies' lives. And it, you know, it's just, it's hard to understand where he was coming from on, in his decision on this. Really, really bizarre. One of the, opinions that I did, write about, specifically was, Justice Neil Gorsuch. He was appointed by President Donald Trump and is one of the newer, justices on the court. And he really, you know, criticized, the majority, especially John Roberts. And he wrote, there's some really harrowing details in his opinion about the evidence that, of women being basically abandoned, by abortionists, while they were suffering very severe life-threatening complications and just basically being kicked out of, the abortion clinic and told, you know, if you're suffering, just go to the hospital. Just horrible things that, were happening, and speaking to why this law is so much needed to protect women and babies, because these are, you know, without these kind of regulations, what separates these places from being really the back alley abortion clinics that they claim to want to end? That's really what this law was about, you know, ensuring that while abortion is legal, I mean, we want it to end, we want babies' lives to be protected, but while it remains legal, at least hold abortion facilities to basic health and safety standards. So Gorsuch really went into details about, you know, the kinds of things that, you know, how women are being hurt and abandoned when they're suffering. So it really is evidence that abortion clinics don't really care about women. They obviously don't care about babies. They don't really care about life. The more I read about this, the more I write about abortion, the more I realize this abortion thing is an industry. It's a money-driven, profit-driven industry, and obviously I think there's, you know, a spiritual battle involved as well. So, it's really disappointing what happened, but it was a 5-4 decision on Monday, so it was still a narrow decision, and we'll see what happens next.
All right, let me ask you this. How common is it that there are complications to abortions? I could hear the other side saying something like, yeah, but that's just a very rare thing. But you're saying basically if you get an abortion, you're at your own risk. If they happen to perforate the uterus, or they, you know, puncture this or puncture that, or even cause the person to die. And there have been cases where people died. There's a lady named Cheryl Sullinger, and I've talked to her before. She's like the policy advisor for Operation Rescue. She does really powerful, powerful research on the underbelly of the whole abortion industry. And she, you know, maybe these are rare in terms of the number of times they happen versus the number of abortions, but it's not uncommon. So, in other words, people, like you say, women's lives are at risk.
Mm-hmm. I think it's from the CDC. Now, the CDC statistics are very incomplete. They do not get every state. I think there's only 32, but the numbers of women who've died, I think, is over 400 from abortion, and that's according to the Centers for Disease Control.
Give me a time period of that. 400 women have died since?
That, I believe, is a number, the latest I think they have statistics on that is since 2012. That would be from the time they started keeping track of these, which would be, I think, the late 1970s through 2012. So there, you know, hundreds of women have died, and that's according to the Centers for Disease Control. But pro-lifers believe there's many more.
Why?
It seems like every few months, it seems like when I look at, I do a lot of research and look at abortion clinic inspections that states are, doing, you see very commonly on these reports, failure to report complication to authorities, failure to report complication to the state. Abortion clinics aren't reporting these complications. That's one issue.
Let me just connect the dots, or have you connect the dots. Would this mean then that some women are actually dying from abortion? It's ultimately because of abortion, but it's not being reported as abortion. It's just the patient bled to death or something like that. It has nothing to do with abortion in the cause of death. That's why the numbers, of dead women from abortions is reported at a lower rate than it, in reality is. I'm just asking.
We believe that very well could be happening. That we don't always know. It's usually in these state inspection reports, it's not always clear what exactly the complication was. So you don't always know if a woman died or just went. What specifically it was. It doesn't always list, but I'm sure there are more. Another thing, and this relates directly to the Louisiana case, is that. Involving the hospital admitting privileges is, from what I understand, that if they send the woman home and she is suffering from complications, but they send her home and tell her call 911 and she goes to the emergency room, again, the abortion clinic does not have to report that as a complication unless they are the ones that are sending her directly to the emergency room or are treating it. So there's ways that they're getting around reporting complications. I believe they're much higher than what the abortion activists claim that they are. There are studies from other countries that keep better health data, England, Finland, studies that I've seen that keep have national health systems and keep better records than America does on abortions and complications. And you see in those studies that the abortion complication rates are much higher than what is claimed. So there is a very real risk for women. An unborn child dies in every abortion. And even if there's never a complication for the mother, it's still a baby dying. Mm-hmm. But these do hurt mothers too. And mothers sometimes die too, and they're being deceived by the abortion industry.
That really is so sad because the culture at large, films, movies, media, that is the news and information side of it, as well as the entertainment side, they push abortion and the idea of it, this is, safe basically and so forth. But you're saying, no, abortion is risky. We have about 1 minute left. How about a comment on the Gosnell story? I mean, Gosnell is in prison, and if they had such a law struck down, in Louisiana, why is he unjustly in prison in Pennsylvania? I'm just asking theoretically. Obviously, he did terrible things.
Yeah, a lot of the laws, like the ones passed in Louisiana, came about because of Gosnell. He was a Philadelphia abortionist who was not inspected for something like 17 years. The state never set a foot in his abortion facility, and he was killing babies born alive, late-term babies who could have survived. There was at least one woman who died at his abortion clinic, and he was convicted of manslaughter in her death. So it was really a wake-up call to our country when the Gosnell case happened, that abortion clinics need to be regulated. They can't police themselves. Women are being hurt and dying. Babies are being born alive and killed. And it was disgusting what happened there. And it's disgusting now that some of these laws meant to protect women from people like Gosnell are now being overturned.
LifeNews.com. We're out of time, Makaya, but thank you so much for being with us. Makaya Bilger, all the best.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye now.